Hello, Queer Eye fans. We are on season 2, episode 5, the episode we've all been waiting for. We have a trans man, and we also have a very special guest here. On this episode, we're getting a perm, it's blown out, and we're also going to Oz. So let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
With the bad kids. Okay.
The bench is back, y'all.
That's a bad bitch.
Oh shit.
Oh my gosh, I'm so feeling this fam right now. Hello everyone, if you didn't know, now you know. That is Todrick Hall, and it's Expensive off of his Straight Outta Oz album, which is very appropriate for this episode, Oz inspired. Matt's not here, so you get to look at me this entire episode. I'm Charles Connolly. This is our very special guest. I want to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Marlo Percival, and I'm a trans actor.
Trans actor.
Which is relevant.
Very relevant for this episode.
Hi, welcome.
Yes, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, I'm Hollywood Lee, and you can find me on everywhere on Hollywood Lee.
And I'm Drew Jones. So let's get it started.
Let's get all up into this gig, shall we?
Let's go.
Well, so I guess first off, we want to thank again Marlo for being here. He is a trans actor and recently beginning your transition. Is that correct?
Yeah, very recently. Just in April, I started.
Yeah.
So only a couple of months. Is that 2-3 months? Yeah.
Yeah. So how has that been? Because you've been in the entertainment industry, you've been an actor. How has that been kind of transitioning in the entertainment field?
Yeah, I mean, it's been hard. I thought, like, for the most part, like, when I came out, like, it was going to be like, okay, I'm going to take a really long break or whatever, and I'm not going to do very much. But, yeah, I mean, it's been hard without work, but, like, I have, like, a recent gig that I was on was, like, Freaky Friday, mm-hmm. the new Disney movie that's coming out soon.
Woo!
So that's,
yes,
that's kind of, like, keeping me rolling, and, like, yeah, I have a lot of support, and, like, my talent agent is really supportive and still trying to send me out for roles and stuff. So, like, yeah, it's still good. It's better than what I thought it'd mm-hmm. be.
It's working out.
Yeah.
Well, I knew you'd work it out. Yeah, I saw some of your stuff, and you looked amazing on camera, and in Freaky Friday, you're doing all the great promotion, so you're clearly working it.
Thank you.
So, how long have you been acting? Why don't you tell us a little bit about, like, how you got into the acting business, or how that all started? I knew it was kind of from a young age, right?
Yeah, I was very young. I started, well, originally when I was younger, like, all my sisters, they all were dancers, and so then I started dancing. And with that, I was kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to take, like, acting classes to, like, kind of help with that or whatever. And then from there, I took it when I was, like, 10, 11, 12-ish. And, yeah, I just realized that, like, I loved acting more. It was, like, totally where I was myself. And, yeah, through that, I think through acting is, like, how I found myself and how I came to understand who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know in the acting industry, there's a lot of pressure to fit into a very specific mold.
Mm-hmm.
You're told your brand. You're told what type of roles you should go out for. So identity is, like, a really huge thing in acting. So was that, like, a conversation that you had to have with your agent about completely switching your brand? I mean, how did that whole work out? Or do you still kind of go out for the same types of roles? Like, what's the shift there?
I mean, right now it's, like, it's a totally different shift. Like, before I came out, it was, like, my typecast was, like, cute Asian girl.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, now it's, like, all these, like, gender fluid, like, trans man, like, just starting to transition stuff. And there's not very many of those roles, but there's some of them. And so those are kind of, that's kind of, like, my typecast now. And I do kind of hope to, like, break out of that eventually, like, as I continue to transition to, like, go back into what I was doing before, which was, like, cisgendered roles mm-hmm. and, like, yeah, roles of various types, not just the trans roles, not just the trans stories, but, like, yeah, stuff like that.
More cisgender roles. Because I know in Freaky Friday, am I correct, you have a cisgender role in that.
Yeah,
I'm a
cisgender woman.
Yeah.
I got Freaky Friday before I came out. I was, like, gonna come out, like, during mm-hmm. that time, like, before I got it. And then, yeah, and then I got that role, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll just won't leave it, whatever.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm glad I did it, even though, like, it was hard. And it was especially hard because, like, the role I got was, like, a super hyper feminine, like, girl in heels, and she's, like, ditzy and puppy dog like and whatever, and so it's, like, the complete opposite of me, but, like, it was really fun, and it was, yeah, a good challenge.
Yeah. Now, I love a Freaky Friday moment. I think we all love Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
How many... Wait, so was the Freaky Friday that Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis... Was that the first one or was that the second one?
That was the second one.
Okay, so the second one. So third time's a charm. This one's going to be even better, right, than the first two?
It's got me in it. So.
Oh, absolutely. So you love a confident man, yes. So how was the whole process? I don't know how much you can talk about, like, filming Freaky Friday, but how was that whole experience being on set and filming Freaky Friday? Was it amazing?
Like, oh, it was so much fun. I mean, yeah. I've never worked on, like, a Disney movie before, but, like, they treat you so well.
Really?
Like, they're like, yeah, they put, like, so much money into it. And, like, you feel, like, so pampered. And, like, I honestly feel like I don't deserve most of it. But, like, yeah, they treat you so nicely. And even just, like, because it's, like, a musical, like, everyone's just so generally upbeat. Like, the morale, like, mm-hmm. everyone's just happy all the time.
Yeah.
For, like, these, like, 3 months that we're filming. Even though we're doing, like, these, like, 14-hour shoots, everyone's still, like, smiling at the end. Even though we're all,
like Disneyland.
Dying. it was so cute. It was so much fun. It's one of the best set experiences of my life.
That's
for sure.
Well, that's cool. That's good to know. You're like, is this smart water? Like, really? The water's you're giving me are smart water. Like, Fiji water. Very high. Very high-end stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. So, you say you started from an early age. Mm-hmm. You're going through a big transition now.
Yes.
So, I told you I was going to ask you this before. Like, what kind of idols did you have growing up wanting to be an actor? Like, were there any men or women that you looked up to that you wanted to model your acting style after? Or,
I mean,
because you're 19, you're very young.
Yeah. I mean, the one person that I can think of would be, like, since I was little, like, always watching, like, the Oscars and stuff, I always wanted to be, like, Meryl Streep, even though like, she can play any role. She could play a man. She could play, like, she could be anything. And I just, like, totally want to be that. Like, I want to be an actor that could just embody any role and just, like, do it perfectly. And so I guess that would be, like, my number one thing I could think of from, like, when I was a kid.
Have you seen Albert Nobbs with Glenn Close? Didn't she portray a man in that movie? And she was, like, nominated for an Oscar, I think, right?
I didn't see it.
I don't think I saw that.
I think it came out, like, a few years ago, but it was, like, it was Glenn Close, but she portrayed, like, a full-on man, and I'm not sure if it was a trans man in the movie, but it was interesting. I'd wondered if you had seen that or had any insight.
I haven't seen that, but that sounds
to your list.
Up my alley.
Honestly, like, I haven't seen it either. I just saw it nominated at the Oscars, but, yeah, it seems like a cool movie.
Yeah.
So what types of roles are you more interested in? Is it, like, the Disney role, or, like, would you like to get into comedy, more drama? Like, what do you... What's your goal? Like, what's your dream role?
I mean, like, as an actor, you kind of, like, just do everything that you're given. Because it's, like, take what you get. But, I mean, yeah, a lot of the shows that I like are a lot darker and a lot more, like, horror stuff. But also, like, Disney, like, the musical, that was, like, something that was on my bucket list.
Yeah.
So, like, that was really cool. Like, I'm glad, like, I got that. And
That's
I would
awesome.
Totally do that again in a heartbeat. But, yeah, I mean, I'd love to do more serious roles, more challenging roles, stuff that, like, I would have to do research about and would have to, like...
Really
like,
immerse
with the,
yourself.
Yeah, like, with the trans thing, it's like, okay, like, I get that, so, like, it's easy to embody that role and stuff. But, like, yeah, it'd be cool to do something just totally out of the box.
So you like horror movies?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I would have not expected that. Like, the Disney kind of background and... You're so young, and you seem very, like, vibrant and upbeat. I wouldn't expect that you're getting to, like, the darker horror
like
movies.
I like everything, so.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Yeah.
So, Freaky Friday, you are a trans man. You are joining us on this AfterBuzz panel. We're all very happy that you're here. And I guess now's the time we're going to jump in the episode, y'all.
Let's do it.
Right? So this is season 2, like I said, episode 5, and the title of this episode is Sky's the Limit. Which is aptly named because the sky is the limit for this trans man named Skylar. He's just completed the physical part of his transition from female to male. He's a trans man. So what do y'all think about this episode?
This was easily the most emotional episode in my opinion. I binged the whole season. So this was really the one that I was like, okay.
From the top.
It really got you.
Because it opened up with the surgery.
Oh my gosh.
The opening?
That was like
wow.
a 10. Like,
that was drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it. Yeah, it was, it's so, I mean, for me, like, especially relatable, so it was Yeah. Very sweet.
Yeah, I'm
very
sure, like, multiple spots in this episode hit you emotionally, for, yeah, sure. And, like, normally with Korra, it's such, like, a light, fun show. They opened up on, like, a really serious note.
Yeah.
Like, really showing you the gritty, up-close version of what it is to transition. It's not always, like, I mean, it's not comfortable.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah,
I thought that was cool. So, yeah, this was a great episode. Again, the guy's name is Skylar. And so let's first talk about Karamo. Karamo's experience with Skylar. Karamo did an okay amount, I feel like, in this episode. Yeah. The main spots was the driver's license moment, which was a huge milestone in Skylar's life.
So I thought that was great. I don't want to discredit Karamo. I thought he did a good job, and I thought he really tried to be there. And I think the driver's license was so huge. He was like, this is going to be my task.
Yeah.
So I think he just took that on. I don't think there was anything else he could have really done.
I do kind of feel like with the driver's license thing, it was like he was probably going to do that anyway, like with a friend on his own. Like, he probably didn't need Karamo for that.
You can come along.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have showcased it on the show, you know what I mean? We wouldn't have seen it. So I think it meant something. So
yeah,
I
absolutely
think that's where Karamo fit in. So I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, in all fairness, Skylar doesn't really have an issue with, he seems like a pretty confident dude. It's not, and Karamo's thing is like, I'm going to get to the root of your issue. Skylar doesn't really have issues. It was more him taking this next step into what he feels like is completing him as a man. And so Karamo's really just there more as a support system rather than what he normally does, which is just nitpick and try to figure out what the issue is at hand.
And I'm not trying to throw any shade at Karamo. I mean, I've said it in the past, like, sometimes Karamo doesn't do that much in the episodes, but I really do feel like this
I can't with you in the fan. I just can't.
You can't?
I can't take you seriously.
I can take me seriously with a fan.
It's like if a fraternity had a fan, like, it just looks like much. Alpha Sigma something made that fan and gave it to you.
Ooh, this feels good. This is really good under these hot lights. I'm gonna do this even more now because y'all can't take it. This is a super fan. Okay, well, I'm not trying to read Karamo or shade Karamo. I'm just saying that this episode wasn't his time to shine, right?
Yeah.
But I do think that the guy who did have a severe moment was Bobby, with that whole house transformation. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
That was incredible. I mean, we walk into this house, the Fab Five walk into this house, and it is like a queer haven. There are pride flags everywhere. Everywhere you look, it's like a little tchotchke type of thing. Like something
it's just juvenile.
Yeah,
like something you would get at a gay pride festival, something you'd get at the parade and like tack up on your wall. Yeah. It just seemed a little bit young.
Young is okay. I think it was juvenile is like the perfect word, because young is like, when you're young, you can put up a picture of Christina Aguilera and be like, you know what, that's what I listen to, so whatever.
Yeah, put it in a frame.
You know what I mean? But this guy had like 25 hats tacked up on the wall. Yeah. He had a blanket as a curtain. You know what I mean? It's just juvenile.
The cat pee couch.
He's 30 years old.
The cat pee couch.
I was like, how does that happen?
And they, like, put a blanket over it, and then when they lifted up the blanket, it was just totally, acid had, like, ruined the leather, burned through it. It was horrible.
Acid.
Pretty much. Yeah, acid. Something that has acid in it. Something involving cats. So we walked in, and the house kind of seemed like didn't belong to a 30-year-old man, or 30-something-year-old man. He was 30, right, Skylar?
Yeah, he was 30.
Yeah, didn't look like it belonged to a 30-year-old man, which is common in these episodes. I mean, a lot of houses need zhuzhing, but the thing that was different about this one was it needed zhuzhing, and it also needed to be, like, taken down, if that makes any sense. Like, it needed to be lifted and brought back. It was just a lot of sparkle, a lot of color.
Yeah. I really liked what he was saying about how, like, you being queer is just, like, a column of, like, who you are. Like, it's not everything about you. You're, like, you're more complicated than that. You're a bigger person than that, and so your space should reflect that.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
It's much more impactful when it's just like a little.
Yeah.
But can I be real though? I was not in love with the color of his bedroom.
The green.
Yeah. The forest green.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I just didn't like it. I think it would have been like a fun maybe accent wall, but I think
the whole green as a whole
was just a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Maybe in the living room. I don't know if the bedroom was the best choice for the forest green.
I would have liked it in the living room maybe.
But I do like forest green.
Yeah, I love the color, but it just didn't. I don't know. It almost made it feel like the room was smaller.
Like a little too dark.
The room did look a little smaller.
I can see that. Yeah, I think that it looked better on camera, actually. I think if you actually walked in and you saw that forest green, you might get a little overwhelmed. I can see where it comes from. Yeah. Although I did like the forest green moment. But it made me wonder, I did think about this, because it showed pictures of Skylar when he was in high school, as a woman, and he seemed like he was very feminine as a woman, and I'm wondering if he had... Obviously, that wasn't the room that he grew up in, and it makes me wonder if he went, like, so masculine with his like decor of his room currently because his room when he grew up was like more feminine. Yeah. It would be interesting to see like how he grew up in high school, because I'm wondering if there was a big deviation there, if he like did not want to do anything remotely feminine in terms of like decorating his house. Now I know he'd embraced feminine in his fashion, but
a lot to trans people. Yeah. It's like the, well, you know, I don't want to be seen at all as like a female, so I'm just going to be like totally like super hyper masculine. It's like, and most of the time, it's not who they are, and it takes time for them to find that middle ground.
Yeah. Are you in that process now? If you don't mind me, of just like finding that.
No, new I mean, identity? I try to like really keep true to myself because that's kind of. I feel like that's the point. I try to like be real with myself. Like when I'm trying to be hyper masculine, I'm like, oh, wait. That's not me. Like, I'm bubbly and cute and whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Right? Try That's to cool. keep that.
Yeah, you don't want to be, like, performing. Like, a performed gender type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. I love that, like, new kind of modern view on trans identity is, like, it's not about performing more feminine or more masculine. It's just about finding your own gender identity.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a lot of what this episode was, too, with Skylar. It was, like, finding his gender identity and being able to express that. And Bobby helped him to make his home and his room more like Oz inspired. I loved that whole theme throughout the whole house. It's like the Oz inspired moment because Todrick Hall was a huge inspiration to Skylar.
Yes. I think this was the most like intimate Bobby's been with someone as far as like redecorating their house. I feel like he put a lot more effort and love into this one than I think we've seen on other episodes because he could relate to Skylar.
Bobby Absolutely. Was featured in this episode for sure.
Heavily. Yeah. And normally he's just, we're like, where's Bobby? Like a couch.
I love that. I said that like, didn't I say like a few episodes ago? I was like, we need more Bobby. We need a Bobby segment. And in this episode, we actually saw him looking at a chair, y'all. So he's being featured. The producers are listening, even though that the show had already been made whenever we're doing this after show, so... Maybe I just watched the episodes and decided to make a false prediction, pseudo prediction. So now let's jump into Anthony, who also didn't do a lot.
That you saw.
That I saw. Okay, here we go. Drew defends Anthony even more than I defend Anthony.
I don't know. I'm sorry. The Pokeballs did not look good.
They did look good.
Sure when they were good. Like, I don't actually, like
I'm
fish,
a huge
so, like,
Pokeball fan.
Like
it, but... It looked super basic.
Well, it looked good when Anthony made it. Whenever Skylar made it, I feel like it looked a little, like, gray. Almost.
The well, the tin had been in there for a week.
True.
I just don't know if I'd make Poke at home. Like, I would have to make it the day I bought the tuna. I couldn't just let it sit in the
fridge. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. You can't.
Well, you know what?
Regardless.
I bet Anthony, like, whenever Anthony asks Skylar, like, what kind of stuff do you like? When Skylar said sushi, I bet Anthony was like, did you really just say sushi?
No,
like, I'm not going to tell you how to
make it. You don't have to run with that. I knew he was going to do that. And it's like, you can't just talk to him for two more seconds and find out his second favorite food. Like, oh, yeah, it's sushi. Like, great. What else? Oh, sandwiches. It's
like perfect. But what if his second thing was like escargot?
Well, then why don't you just find out? It takes two more seconds to ask.
But maybe they did and we just didn't see it.
He didn't clearly because he was like,
just
perfect.
Say you hate Anthony and let's call
it. I don't. I'm really attracted to him. I love him.
I think we're all attracted to Anthony. Yeah. I am definitely attracted to Anthony.
I think, beautiful man. Well, you've made it definitely clear, but in the creepy way.
I know. I've been super creepy about it. And I've been trying to tone it down, but it's not working at all. It's not working. I don't know how to
bless
play
your
it.
Heart.
I know, I don't know how to play it subtle. It's not my brand.
But anyway, I thought the little rice cakes looked hella good.
I would eat those alone.
I wanted to know how to make those, and I wish they would have, like,
told you.
Given me the dummy version.
Well, they said it was like rice in an air fryer, right? Which an air fryer I'm not too into.
Because I own an air fryer.
No, I want to fry it in some grease.
I feel like Anthony really missed the mark this week. Sorry, babe.
Oh, now who's shading Anthony? Oh, you were kind of shading him from the start, right? You were telling me that. Okay, cool.
I always keep it real from the beginning. Like, there's
the
no black and white with me. Like,
from the jump.
I mean, there's only black and white with me. There's
no
gray,
no gray area.
Area.
There we go.
Sorry, I'm wearing black and white, so I'm just like, I'm being literal today.
Reputation shirt. Oh my god.
Big
well,
reputation.
I always stan Anthony, but maybe this episode wasn't his time to shine. He looked cute. He wore guy liner at the end whenever they were like viewing the the transformation moment. Yeah. He wore the guy liner. That was like his highlight. So when your highlight is guy liner, maybe you're not.
I thought
so
that was featured. Bobby.
No, Bobby wore the skirt.
The skirt.
And the guy liner.
Guy liner for everyone.
Bobby's didn't look that good, though.
Right, because he stole it from Jonathan, who's taller.
I don't think Bobby looked that good in the eyeliner. Sorry.
But you know what? I feel like there were certain people from the Fab Five who had to be heavily featured because that was a big... Like, I don't feel like food was a big part of Skylar's journey. So that's why we didn't see a lot of Anthony. And maybe I am defending Anthony.
No, I guess. But I feel like you need to bring something to just be there. Like, I could just be on the bed sitting next to Skylar.
But you know that's not how the setup of the show goes.
I don't know, but not necessarily. Like, I feel like you just have to be realistic about it. And they were realistic about
it.
You know what I mean? Sometimes. Not this episode. Like, with the sushi, that wasn't realistic.
No.
Nobody makes pokey at home, okay? No.
Okay.
I make pokey at home.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're gonna have a special segment.
And what would people from back home say to that?
Well, I'm from Kentucky, so they'd be like, what the hell is
Kentucky?
Pokey?
We're going to have a special segment on this great
after
show.
But because I'm a cultured Californian.
No, because you live in L.A.
We're going to have a special segment on this after show. It's going to be called Kentucky-style poke.
Drag me.
And it's going to be amazing. I'm here for it.
If you live in Hawaii, you make your own poke bowl.
Okay. Right. We have determined that Anthony was not at his best this episode, but now we're going to talk about my two favorite members of the Fab Five on this episode, Jonathan and Tan. We're going to start out with Jonathan. I think this was one of Jonathan's best this season. Really great transformation. He
The curly hair was
bad.
The perm not was not good.
So bad.
Not good.
Not cool.
So he toned down the beard and he blew out the perm. And he kind of zhuzhed up the ginger in him. He gave him some more color, which I liked. Yeah, I liked embracing the color.
Yeah.
So, and a lot about, you can speak to this a little bit more, but I think a lot about like embracing your trans identity and, embracing identity as a masculine man or as a man in general is your physical appearance. It's a huge thing. And Skylar was holding on to this beard with dear life.
I know.
And it needed to be torn off.
It needed to go. Yeah, like I get the significance, man, but it's a throw it away.
No, it was not a good look.
He was like Lucky Charms, but then he went to like sexy Ron Weasley, and I was here for it. The beard at first was so bad.
Comparison is so on point.
Yeah, it really is. Lucky Charms to hot Ron Weasley, I love it. Well, and if there was ever anybody to break it to you that the beard has to go, I would want it to be Jonathan. Like, you can't be mad at Jonathan. When Jonathan tells you the beard has to go, you're like, okay, I'll take the beard.
I wouldn't have been mad at the beard if it would have, like, went over the lip, too, but just
if it was a neck beard.
I haven't seen one of those in so long, where it's just, like, a 90s. Chin strap.
Yeah, no.
Well, I think I got what he was trying to do. I think he was trying to accentuate, like, a more masculine jawline.
Yeah.
But you can do that with the stubble that Jonathan did. Yeah. And Jonathan actually explained it really well, too. In that segment, he was like, whenever you have something dark on your chin, it actually recedes the chin, makes your cheeks and neck look bigger. So Jonathan has it down to a science. He's a style scientist, a grooming scientist.
Everybody's different, though, so I feel like even though Jonathan suggests something, I just feel like it shouldn't always be concrete, you know? I feel like if I want to rock a beard, then I'll rock a beard. And if I don't want to rock a beard because I want to feel girly today, that's what I'll do. I feel like everyone is always just figuring it out. I feel like even when you're 50 years old and you come out at 50 years old as a trans person, I just feel like everyone's always figuring it out. So I don't really feel like there's no definite answer about like how I should feel or look today.
Yeah.
And that's just
And Jonathan how I says feel that too.
Yeah.
Jonathan said in the episode, like, I'm always about to meet people where they are. Like, I always want to do that.
That's what I really like about Jonathan, because he doesn't drag you. One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tan, talking to you.
Tan.
He doesn't drag you, and he always is trying to meet where you're comfortable. Like, he'll help you get out of your comfort zone, but he's not going to force you into anything. And I think that's a huge part of their confidence rising is, you know, doing something.
And he'll give you a compliment.
Like. He will. A lot
of it's always genuine. Like, I always agree with the compliment. It's never, like, a compliment. You're just like, you just said that because you're trying to be nice. Like, it's always like, you know what? I agree with you. He does look good.
Yeah. Category is genuine realness.
Yeah. Totally love it.
I love that.
Love Jonathan.
So also, in addition to toning down the beard and amping up the hair, we saw our first makeup moment. with Skylar. And it wasn't like a huge moment in the episode. It was just like a little bit of light coverage concealer. Because there was mentioned that the hormones, is that the correct term? The hormones that he was on, can amp up the amount of oil that your face produces, mm-hmm. and it can kind of give you some skin issues. So it was, I think, good that Jonathan addressed that and said, hey, it's okay for a man to wear makeup. I know that I put on a full beat every day I go out of the house. I'm wearing a full beat now. But yeah, I thought that was a cool little moment for him to include.
Jonathan. Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not looking forward to the breakage.
The breakout. Well, you look like you have great skin, though. I don't think
well, right now, yeah. It's okay because I'm only like 2 months on it. But
oh, yeah.
Give me a couple months and okay. I'll be a little teenage boy. Like,
good. But it made a huge difference. It really, I mean, like, it so really true. Brought yeah. everything together.
Sometimes you need a little blot. And I like JVN's like address to it because Karamo had on way too much makeup in the car.
Karamo does have does
he does too much makeup, sometimes. I could see it in the GoPros.
Yeah,
like, it's tone like it matted. Tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, you really need to be careful with those close GoPro angles.
Just a little setting powder, let it bake. A
little green stick.
Good to go. It's cute.
Sometimes all you need is a green stick. You don't need everything.
Yeah, you don't need all that full coverage. Yeah. So the other guy who did Amazing of the Fab Five was Mr. Tan. And Tan was all about trying to find this amazing middle ground between the masculine and the feminine with Skylar, because Skylar does do drag, but he's a drag king, so he's like hyper-masculine when he's doing drag. But he also likes to bring in some feminine style in his wardrobe. We saw some pieces that were more feminine, and Skylar was really upfront in saying, like, I'm at a place now where I would like to incorporate the feminine into the masculine. So I thought that was cool that Tan had the opportunity to do this, because normally he's just trying to go masculine, butch queen realness.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Can I be real, though? I wasn't, like, in love with the looks, really. But I like, I mean, they met.
I liked everything except the stars.
I think maybe that really threw me off. I wasn't, like, I didn't think they were horrible. And I just, I don't know, I wasn't in love with them. Really? But I loved Tan's. I didn't love
the stars, but, like, it was Skylar.
It was super Skylar. I just think Skylar and I don't have the same fashion. No. I think he looked very nice.
Yeah.
I just was, there have been other, but I loved the reaction he had to them. I think that's what's more important, is he genuinely loved it and he felt good about it. And I love the conversation that he and Tan had about being trans. I felt like that was such an important conversation to get to
that
experience.
Was probably the part that I liked about
was the
experience
of the episode,
with Tan, because I thought the clothes were just okay. Like, I thought the clothes were okay, but the stripes, I mean, the stars thing, that was not cute.
Well, I think that it was Todrick inspired too, because a running theme in this episode was Todrick, because Todrick was kind of the catalyst to get Skylar kind of feeling confident, and He loves Todrick. He loves everything about him, and he wanted to incorporate him heavily in his wardrobe, and I think that's where the stars came from. I probably wouldn't wear the stars, but I liked it, to be honest.
I liked it.
I thought it was cool.
It was cute.
Oh, these are the before and afters. So that's the before. You know, that's a guy that you see on the street. That is Skylar with the beard, rocking the backwards cap. He had a wall full of those caps, y'all. And every time they cut to him, he had a different hat on. And there is the gorgeous after the blowout with a perm.
Face looks so much better.
The fade does look better. And you can tell he's confident. He's rocking it. If I saw him in a bar, I'd wonder what his name is. And
and he's really happy about his body, too. He's bringing body because he got a little sucked up on the side.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Look at that body.
Come on, chiseled.
Nice. Oh, my God.
He thick. Let's go.
So this is on Instagram from May 30th. This was a year after the top surgery.
A year post-op.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice. Well,
and then this also is the next one from his Instagram as well.
Okay, wait. I'm sensing the beard back coming back.
Yeah. The beard is back.
And the hair is back.
You know, but it looks like it's growing a little bit more on his neck. Like
what?
Well, yeah, he was telling him.
Yeah, like he was telling him. So I'll take it.
Okay, if Skylar, if you're watching, we implore you. If you love the beard, you love the beard. But, you know, you look great either way. But, well, you look a little bit better one way, which is the stubble. But we stand.
You know
here,
what? I'm okay with the beard if you just do something that's too. It's one or the other. You can't have all of this and then all of this.
Yeah,
you gotta
right.
like it's one true. Or the other. I can't be doing this. It's just too much.
Yeah.
Going crazy.
But that's the wonderful before and after picture. We do it every week, and this one was a great one.
Wonderful.
But it was wonderful. It was gorgeous. It was perfect. It was beautiful. So yeah, that was the tan was the fitted suit moment. I love the fitted suit.
Oh, suit too. Was so nice. Yeah.
I love the suit. Suits are awesome.
I want a suit.
That was my favorite outfit.
I don't think it's the most basic thing. Like, he's like, I want to take you back to the basics, and it's a suit. And it's like, no, it's not actually a suit. It's actually a shirt and a pants. That's what basic is. And underwear.
Right.
Yeah. A shirt, jeans. Pants, like, and basic, underwear. Like, that's what a basic lot of men is. Have. But a suit suits. Is a commodity. It's something that not everybody can afford. So don't act like it's the basic tan.
Oh.
But I do love a suit, especially a nice tailored suit to accentuate certain body types.
Yeah.
I thought it was super totally sweet agreed. That like cool he too. Got to have it tailored with someone who was like who like knew about it and absolutely. Could like work around like his comfort zone. So he had a good like tailoring experience. Like I thought it was really unfortunate that he tried to get suits tailored. And yeah. Then, like, had really bad experiences.
But it's so awesome. I didn't even know that that existed, that resource for trans people.
Yeah.
To have their clothes fitted for their bodies.
Yeah.
Now, you said earlier, I want a suit. I heard you say that. Have you gone shopping for suits
I'm
for some of those masculine
getting
staples?
I'm getting a suit made because the Freaky Friday Disney premiere in New York is, like, at the end of this month. So I'm getting, like, this bright colored suit made for me, and I'm very excited.
Oh, that's awesome.
Are you going to post it on your Instagram? I need to see pictures.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Wait. Hold on. What's your Instagram again?
It's Marlo Percival.
Marlo Percival. It'll flash up on the screen at the end of the show, but follow.
Actually, I wanted to ask you a little bit about that because I'm an actor as well, and I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I have something really, really major coming up at the end of the year that's going to shake things up, and I feel like I'm in a limbo. How do you feel right now just knowing that everything's going to just change? Because this is huge. This is a Disney movie. I worked on Disney. I was in Step Up 3D. So I know about, it was nothing, I was just a dancer, but I know what you're talking about, how they treat you good, and the food is amazing, and everything's, this is a huge deal for you, this is a featured role, so how do you feel about the limbo right now, before it comes out, because after it comes out, everything's going to change, we're going to feel incredible, but how do you feel right now, because I know I'm terrified.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel the same way, a little bit of that, like, anxiety and you not knowing, like, how
people it's going to
turn out.
It.
Yeah, like, afterwards and, like, yeah, like, it sounds big, but, like, is it going to be big? Like, I mean...
But you worked really hard. You put your soul into it.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not.
I don't know. I did, of course, but, like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I definitely feel that same thing that you were saying is that, like, a little bit of fear, but it's... It's definitely exciting, and it's very, like, you just kind of want it to happen so that you can stop being in, like, this, like, limbo place of, like, just waiting for the movie to come out and stuff.
Well, you have a better attitude than me, because I'm more like, I don't know, but I feel like you're like, this is my third time, I'm ready for it to just, bam!
Are you worried about it? Like,
I'm not worried about it, because I know it's going to be huge, I'm just... Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
He's deciding who he still wants to talk to after he's famous.
Yeah.
And I'm
just kidding. No, I don't know. I'm just really freaked out.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm excited. I'm in the same boat as you. I just got my premiere ticket and my swag bag.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I'm super excited.
Well, yeah, I don't think you have any reason to be freaked out. You should just be excited.
Like, I'm getting there.
Oh my gosh, Super Soul Conversations with Marlo. Okay, so now we're going to go into news segment.
Wait, can we talk about Todrick that he showed up?
Oh, we were going to talk about Todrick for Karamo. I forgot to mention. Okay, so rewind, whoop, back to Karamo. Todrick showed up.
I love Todrick, and I did not expect him to show up. It was a total surprise. I thought it was a great part of the episode, and I think it totally tied it all together. It brought it full circle. He mentioned it throughout the entire episode, so I thought it was just a fantastic cherry on top.
Yeah, and Karamo, I think, was the one who, like, set that whole thing up, right? I mean, we can only assume. He acted like he did.
I guess.
Whatever. I mean, he showed up. It was amazing. It was awesome.
Yeah. I like the conversation that he had with Skylar, like, talking about, like, his surgery and, like, his mom and stuff. Like, I teared up during that part. Like, that was sweet.
I love that.
Yeah.
And Todrick was super sweet, and he was affectionate. Yeah. I think he's really good with his fans. I love that about him.
Yeah.
I concur.
And Todrick is, like, super talented. If you haven't seen the visual album, Straight Outta Oz, it is amazing.
It is really good.
The production value is sick. It's beyond. It's it really is incredible, which, I mean, it's understandable that Skylar was so inspired by Todrick Hall. And good on you, Todrick, for showing up for the LGBT community on Queer Eye. So now we're going to fast forward into the news and gossip segment of our show.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Yes. So Drew, I think, has some hot tea with this episode, some controversy. What's been going on?
Okay, so when the episode came out, there was a couple of think pieces by transgender writers, and they just felt like...
Love a think piece.
The episode basically was only saying that your identity as a transgender man or woman is vilified if you get a surgery, and that's not true for a lot of transgender people, and they felt like that maybe that's how Queer Eye was trying to present it. And so Skylar did an interview and said, you miss out on so much of what they were there for like 2 weeks with him. You miss out on so much of, you know, what they actually mm-hmm. did. That Bobby actually, Skylar ended up having to get another surgery for something and needed someone to help take care of him. And Bobby actually like arranged people to come down there and help and take care of him. God. And that he still talks to Bobby all the time. That,
nice.
You know, that they really are as genuine and sweet as we think they are wow. on the show. And so that it was such a life-changing experience for him. And he said that he hates that people have some sort of weird feeling towards it because he didn't feel like he was, you know, being paraded around like a circus like an animal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
See, that warms my heart. This is Super Soul Conversations on a Sunday. Come on, Oprah. We're coming for you, Oprah. Well, see, I love this. I love this whole topic, too. It's like, this is my personal opinion, but I feel like a lot of times whenever... something happens in pop culture regarding a trans person, the LGBT community, like, some people claim to know more about the right way to be trans than others, mm-hmm. and they're very hard and hold that trans moment in pop culture to a very high standard. And it has, like, sometimes it makes me angry because I think it makes some trans people think, like, feel they're under more pressure whenever they come out as trans. It's like, yeah. I need to do it exactly right because everybody in the LGBT community is dragging trans people in pop culture for doing it wrong. I mean, they dragged Caitlyn Jenner. I'm going to keep my opinion on Caitlyn Jenner separate, but they dragged Caitlyn Jenner. They dragged RuPaul for what he said about trans people. Yeah. They drag everybody for their opinion on what it is to be trans, and sometimes it does more harm than good. Sometimes you just need to meet people where they are and support them, right?
I think the RuPaul Caitlyn Jenner thing, I think those are different situations, but I think as far as I get both sides of it, because on the one hand, and this isn't, for instance, I'm black, and so when you see black representation, you don't want it to be X, Y, and Z. I'm tired, like, I don't want to see, you know, the only black people on TV being portrayed as thugs or criminals or slaves. You know, you want to see accurate representation, and when you don't get many opportunities to have that representation, you want it to be right. And obviously, yeah. it sucks that there isn't enough trans representation, but I do understand how people are, you know, trying to be careful with it and trying to make sure that it's something that's real and raw and not something to be a spectacle, because there's not that many opportunities, if we're being honest. And so mm-hmm. I get both sides
yeah.
of it.
I mean, I think, yeah, it does kind of create that, like, fear of, like, what am I trying to say? You like, it comes, right. yeah, like, how we put so much pressure on people to be a certain way, especially trans people. You all have to have the same opinions, you all have to do the same thing and like the same things. And so I think, even coming back to like acting, like, people are scared to like write trans characters because you have to write a very certain way. Mm-hmm. And so then, yeah, that creates like a very lack of like trans roles in
yeah,
the first
it's
place.
Like,
so like, yeah, it even comes back to like acting and stuff. So I don't know. I think, yeah, I think I agree with you in that there's a lot of pressure by a lot of the LGBT community
yeah.
to be a certain way.
Oh my God, what do you think about the Scarlett Jo thing?
I don't care.
That was like the best possible answer you could have given. I literally had someone like come up and ask me to ask you that. They were like,
yeah,
ask him about the Scarlett Jo thing. And I'm like,
no, okay. yeah, no, I want to talk about it. I totally get why people are upset, because like, we're in a place in our society where it's like trans actors can only go for like trans roles, because there's a misconception that trans actors can only play trans roles, and then when most of those trans roles only go to cisgendered actors, it's like, okay, Scarlett Johansson is playing like a trans role like that I could have got, great, you know. So I totally get that, but you know, the problem isn't that like, oh, a cis actor can't play a trans role. It's that our society doesn't allow trans actors to have the opportunity in the acting
And the movie studio's like, Scarlett Joe's going to make 40,000 or 40 million.
Yeah.
So they're just totally not even looking at it in a humanity kind of way.
Yeah, it's all about, like, money. And so, like, that's the problem. It's not her playing a trans role, you know? Yeah. So, like, I don't care about that.
See, we have... This is the reason why we brought Marlo on this episode. He has all the right perspectives on trans issues, and he's just going to be our trans correspondent from now on.
Okay.
And it's going to be great. So, it sucks that there was some controversy surrounding this episode, season 2, episode 5, Sky's the Limit, but it's great that Skylar addressed it and said that, no, don't drag or read the Fab Five, because they're doing the best they can, and they are really here for me. So now we're going to finish up with a quick segment called Doing the Most. Everybody kind of be rapid fire. Who do you think is going to, or who do you think made the biggest impact on this episode? Drew, who do you think had the biggest impact?
As an audience, I think, because this show is catered towards the people who aren't around a lot of LGBT people, and it wants to normalize that. So I think for Midwestern America, Tan was the biggest impact, but for Skylar, it was Bobby.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Drew on this one. I totally agree. I think Tan for the show, like, on it, because he just needed to be educated, like he said. And then outside of it, I think it was Bobby.
Yeah.
I was going to say Tan, because I think, like, yeah, the clothes are so important. Like, as a trans guy, like, I know how important clothes are. I know how important it is to, like, look in the mirror and, like, see the figure that you want. And he really got that out of, like, the stuff that Tan gave him. So I would say Tan.
I'm going with Tan. I think we all agree that Tan was clearly a front runner. Bobby also had a lot to do with it. Yeah. This was a great episode. I loved it. It was a tearjerker.
What about the crime meter? We have to do the crime meter.
Oh, the crime meter. It was a full 10.
We don't have time for
crime. We don't have time for crime meter. Crime meter for everyone was a 10. My name is Charles Conley. Thank you so much for watching this episode. Thank you so much, Marlo, for being with us.
Thank you.
Is Marlo Parseval? Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah. Marlo Parseval. She's I'm so sorry. He's a trans actor, and he's very cool about dealing with us and putting up with us. And you can catch him on Freaky Friday. I'm Charles Conley. You can find me at Charles Connolly.
Oh, I'm going in. I'm Marlo Parseval. You can find me at Marlo Parseval.
Guys, Hollywood Leanne, you can find me on everything Hollywood Leanne. Wednesday nights, Real Housewives of New York City, and the premiere of Real Housewives of Orange County, Monday night. Check me out.
And I'm Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OK Drew J, and make sure to hang out with me at Comic-Con San Diego. Okay, bye.
Woo! Okay, bye. Thanks, y'all. Bye, everyone.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Cheers to the queers!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.